Great Play. Today, the Great Plays present as the sixth in its series, Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. Much Ado is one of the finest of Shakespeare's comedies, and by the same token, one of the best in the English language. Its charm lies in the creation of its main characters, Benedict, Beatrice, Claudio, and Hero, and the foolish constable, Dogberry. Its fine balance between the grave and the gay, and its happy spirit of fun. Truly, one of the golden... Leonato, the governor of Messina, with his daughter Hero and his niece Beatrice, have just received their guests, the princes Don Pedro of Aragon and his brother, Don John, and the young gallants Claudio and Benedict.
Good Signor Leonato, you are come to meet your trouble. The fashion of the world is to avoid cost when you encounter it.
Never came trouble to my house in the likeness of your grace.
You embrace your charge too willingly. I think this is your daughter, Hero.
Her mother hath many times told me so.
Were you in doubt, sir, that you are tough?
Signor Benedict, no. But then were you a child?
You have it full, Benedict. We may guess by this what you are, being a man. Be happy, lady, for you are like an honorable father.
If Signor Leonardo be her father, she would not have his head on her shoulders for all Messina like him as she is.
I wonder that you still be talking, Signor Benedict. Nobody marks you.
What, my dear Lady Disdain, are you yet living?
Is it possible Disdain should die while she has such meat food to feed her as Signor Benedict? Courtesy itself must convert to Disdain if you come in her presence.
Then it's kept your turncoat, Beatrice. But it is certain I am loved of all ladies, only you excepted. And I would I could find in my heart that I have not a hard heart. But truly I love none.
A dear happiness to women. I thank God and my cold blood I am of your humor for that. I would rather hear my dog bark at a crow than a man swear he loves me.
God keep your ladyship still in that mind, so some gentleman or other shall escape a suggestion of scratched face.
Scratching could not make it worse than for such a face as yours were.
I would not have had the speed of your tongue in so good a continuer, but keep your way of God's name. I have done it.
You always end with a jade trick. I know you of all.
This is the sum of all, Leonato. Signor Claudio and Signor Benedict, my dear friend Leonato hath invited you all. I tell him we shall stay here at least a month, and he hardly prays some occasion may detain us longer. I dare swear he is no hypocrite, but prays from his heart.
If you swear, my lord, you shall not be forsworn.
Aye.
Let me bid you welcome, Don John. Being reconciled to Don Pedro, your brother, I owe you all duty.
I thank you. I am not of many words, but I thank you.
Please, at your grace, lead on.
Your hand, Leonardo. We will go together. Surely you have outdone
me. Benedict. Didst thou note the daughter of Signor Leonato?
Well, I noted her not, but I looked on her.
Is she not a modest young lady?
You question me as an honest man should do for my simple true judgment, or would you have me speak after my custom of being a professed tyrant, should I say?
No, I pray thee, speak in sober judgment.
Why, faith, you think she's too low for a high praise, too brown for a fair praise, and too little for a great praise.
Oh.
Only this commendation I can offer her. That were she other than she is, she were unhandsome. And being no other but as she is, I do not like her.
Thou thinkest I am in sport. I pray thee tell me truly how thou likest her.
Would you buy her if we inquired after her?
Can the world buy such a jewel?
In the case to put it into.
In mine eyes, she's the sweetest lady that I ever looked on.
I can see yet without spectacles, and I see no such matter. There's her cousin, and she were not possessed with a fury. Exceeds her as much in beauty as a first of May doth the last of December.
But I hope you have no intent to turn husband, have you? I would scarce trust myself, though I had sworn the contrary, if Hero would be my wife.
Is come to this, Ife. Shall I never see a bachelor of 80 again?
What secret have held you here that you followed Master Leonato?
I would your grace would constrain me to tell.
I charge thee on my allegiance.
You hear, Count Claudio? I can be secret as a dumb man. But on my allegiance. Mark you this, on my allegiance. He's in love.
Oh.
With who? Mark how short his answer is. With Hero, Leonardo's short daughter.
If this were so, so were it uttered.
Like the old tale, my lord, it is not so, nor it was not so, but indeed, God forbid it should be so.
If my passion change not shortly, God forbid it should be otherwise.
Amen, if you love her, for the lady is very well worthy.
Oh, you speak this to fetch me in, my lord.
By my troth, I speak my thought.
And in faith, my lord, I spoke mine.
And by my true faith and trust, my lord, I spoke mine.
That I love her, I feel.
That she is worthy, I know.
That I neither feel how she should be loved, nor know how she should be worthy, is the opinion that fire cannot melt out of me. I will die at it at the stake.
Thou wast ever an obstinate heretic in the despite of beauty.
And never could maintain his path within the force of his will.
That a woman conceived me, I thank her. That she brought me up, I likewise give her humble thanks. Because I will not do women the wrong to mistrust any, I will do myself the right to trust none. And the fine is, for the which I may go to finer, I will live a bachelor.
I shall see thee ere I die look pale with love.
Oh, with anger, with sickness. Or with hunger, my lord, not with love.
In time, the savage bull doth bear the yoke.
The savage bull may, but if ever the senses of Benedict bear it, pluck off the bull's horns and set them in my forehead, and let me be vilely painted, and in such great letters as they write, here is a good horse to hire, let them signify under my sign, here you may see Benedict, the married man.
Well, you will temporize with the hours. In the meantime, good Signor Benedict, repair to Leonato's. Commend me to him and tell him that I will not fail him at supper.
I have almost matter enough in me for such an embassy.
Even
then. So I leave you.
Farewell, then.
My liege, your highness now may do me good. Hath Leonato any son, my lord?
No child but Hero. She's his only heir. Dost thou affect her, Claudio?
Oh, my lord, when you went onward on this ended action, I looked upon her with a soldier's eye. For now I am returned, and the dwarf thoughts have left their places vacant in their rooms. Come thronging soft and delicate desires, all prompting me how fair young Hero is.
Ah, thou wilt be like a lover presently and tire the Hero with a book of words. If thou dost love fair Hero, cherish it. And I will break with her and with her father, and thou shalt have her.
How sweetly you do minister to love that no love's grief by his complexion. But lest my liking might too sudden seem, I would have salved it with a longer treatise.
What need the bridge much broader than the flood? The fairest grant is the necessity. Look, what will serve is fit. 'Tis once, thou lovest, and I will fit thee with a remedy.
I
know we shall be reveling tonight. I will assume thy part in some disguise and tell fair Hero I am Claudio.
How now?
And in her bosom I'll unclasp my heart. What? Then after, to her father will I break, and the conclusion is, she shall be thine.
My lord.
In practice, let us put it best.
Aye.
A room in Leonato's house. Don John and his man Conrad are talking.
What a good year, my lord. Why are you thus out of measure sad?
There is no measure in the occasion that breeds it. Therefore, the sadness is without limit.
You should hear reason.
And when I've heard it, what blessing brings it? I cannot hide what I am.
You have of late stood out against your brother, and he hath taken you newly into his grace, where it is impossible you should take true root, but by the fair weather that you make yourself.
I had rather be a canker in a hedge than a rose in his grace.
My lord!
Who comes here?
My lord!
What news brought you?
I came yonder from a great supper, and I can give you intelligence of an intended marriage.
What is he for a fool that betroths himself to unquietness?
Marry, it is your brother's right hand.
Who? The most exquisite Claudio?
Even he.
A proper squire. And who? And who? Which way looks he?
Marry on Hero, the daughter and heir of Leonato.
A very forward march, chick. How came he to this?
Being entertained for a perfumer, as I was smoking in a tea room, came me the prince and Claudio, hand in hand, in sad conference. I put thee behind the arras, and there heard it agreed upon that the prince should woo Hero for himself, and having obtained her, give her to Count Claudio.
Come, come, let us thither. This may prove food to my displeasure. That young startup hath all the glory of my overthrow. If I can cross him any way, I bless myself every way. You are both sure and will assist me?
To the death, my lord.
Let us to the great supper.
We will wait upon your lordship.
A hall in Leonato's house, where a ball is in progress. The characters are all masked, so consequently they do not recognize each other. Don Pedro has singled out Hero from the rest of the dancers.
Lady, will you walk about with your friend?
So you walk softly and look sweetly and say nothing. I am yours for the walk.
With me in your company?
I may say so when I please.
And when please you to say so?
When I like your favor. For God defend, the face should be like the mask.
My visor is Philemon's roof. Within the house is Jove.
Why, then your visor should be fetched.
Speak low, if you speak low.
Will you not tell me who told you so?
No, you shall pardon me.
No, will you not tell me who you are?
Not now.
That I was disdainful. And that I had my good wit out of 100 merry tales. Oh, well, this was Signor Benedict that said so.
What's he?
I'm sure you know him well enough.
Not I, believe me.
Did he never make you laugh?
I pray you, what is he?
He's the prince's jester, a very dull fool.
Oh.
None but libertines delight in him. And the commendation is not in his wit, but in his villainy. For he both pleases men and angers them. And then they laugh at him and beat him.
When I know the gentleman, I'll tell him what you say.
Do. He'll but break a comparison or two on me. Which, for adventure, not mock and not laughter, strikes him into melancholy. And then there's a partridge wing saying, for the fool will eat no supper that night. We must follow the leader.
In every good thing.
Nay, if they lead to any ill, I'll leave them at the next turning.
Sure, my brother is amorous on Hero, and hath withdrawn her father to break him with him about it. The ladies follow her, and but one masker remains, and that is Claudio. I know him by his bearing. Are you not Signor Benedict?
You know me well. I am he.
Signor, you are very near my brother and his love. He is enamored on Hero. I pray you dissuade him from her. She is no equal for his birth.
I'll know you, he loves her.
I heard him swear his affection.
So did I, too. And he swore he would marry her tonight.
Oh.
Come, let us to the banquet.
Yes, my lord.
Thus answer I in the name of Benedict. But hear these ill news of the ears of Claudio. 'Tis certain so. The prince woos for himself. Farewell, therefore, Hero.
Come, Claudio!
Yea, the same.
Come, will you go with me?
Whither?
Even to the next willow about your own business, county. What fashion will you wear the garland of? You must wear it one way, for the prince has got your Hero.
I wish him joy of her.
Why, that's spoken like an honest drover. So they sell bullocks. But did you say, I think the prince would have served you that?
I pray you leave me.
Oh, now you strike like a blind man. It was a boy that stole your nest and you'll beat the post.
If it will not be, I'll leave you.
Alas, poor her foul. Now will she creep into cities? Just that my lady Beatrice should know me and not know me. The prince is fool. Maybe that I go under that title because I'm merry. Hey, but so I am apt to do myself wrong. I'm not so reputed. It is the base, so bitter disposition of Beatrice that puts the world into her person and so gives me out. Well, I'll be revenged as I may.
Now, senor, where's the count?
I found him here, as melancholy as a lodge in a warren. I told him that your grace had got the goodwill of this young lady. And I offered him my company to a willow tree, either to make him a garland as being forsaken, or to bind him up a rod as being worthy to be whipped.
To be whipped? What this for?
That transgression of a schoolboy who, being overjoyed with finding a bird nest, showed it his companion, and he steals it.
Wilt thou make a trust? The transgression is in the stealer.
It had not been amiss the rod had been made, and the garland too. For the garland he might have worn himself, and the rod he might have bestowed on you. Who would I take it? Have stolen his bird nest.
I will but teach them to sing and restore them to the owner.
Oh, if that singing answer you're saying, by the faith you say honestly.
The Lady Beatrice have a quarrel to you. The gentleman that danced with her told her she is much wronged by you.
Oh, she misused me past the endurance of a block.
Aye?
She told me, not thinking I had been myself, that I was the prince's jester. That I was duller than a great saw, hurling death upon death with such impossible conveyance upon me that I stood like a man at a mark with a whole army shooting at me.
Aye.
I would not marry her, though she were endowed with all that Adam had left before he transgressed.
Nay, madam.
Look, here she comes.
Will your grace command me to any service to the world's end? I will fetch you a toothpicker now from the farthest inch of Asia, rather than hold 3 words conference with this harpy. You have no employment for me.
None but to desire your good company.
Signor Benedict.
Oh, God, sir, here's a dish I love not. I cannot endure my lady tongue.
Well. Come, lady, come. You have lost the heart of Signor Benedict.
Indeed, my lord. He lent it me a while.
So?
I have brought Count Claudio, whom you sent me to keep.
Why, how now, Count? Well, are you sad?
Not sad, my lord.
How then?
Sick.
Neither, my lord.
The Count is neither sad, nor sick, nor merry, nor well. But civil, Count. Civil as an orange, and something of that jealous complexion.
In faith, lady, I think you're blazing to be true. So I'll be sworn if he be so, his conceit is false. Dear Claudio, I have wooed in thy name, and fair Hero is won.
Count, take of me my daughter Hero, and with her my fortune. His grace hath made the match, and all grace say amen to it.
Speak, Count. Is your cue.
Silence is the perfectest herald of joy. Lady, as you are mine, I am yours.
Speak, cousin. Or if you cannot, stop his mouth with a kiss, and let not him speak neither.
Good faith, lady, you have a merry heart.
Yea, my lord. I thank it, poor fool. It keeps on the windy side of care. My cousin tells him in his ear that he is in her heart.
And so she does, cousin.
Thus goes everyone to the world but I, and I am sundered. I may sit in a corner and cry hi-ho for a husband.
Lady Beatrice, I will get you one.
I would rather have one of your father's getting. Hath your grace ne'er a brother like you?
Will you have me, lady?
No, my lord, unless I might have another for working days. Your grace is too costly to wear every day.
Nay.
But I beseech your grace, pardon me. I was born to speak all mirth and no matter.
No, your silence most offends me, and to be merry best becomes you, for out of question you were born in a merry hour.
No, sure, my lord. My mother cried.
So?
Then there was a star dance, and under that was I born. Cousins, God give you joy.
Niece, will you look to those things I told you?
I cry you mercy, uncle, by your grace's pardon.
By my troth. A pleasant spirited lady.
There's little of the melancholy element in her, my lord.
She cannot endure to hear tell of a husband.
Oh, by no means. She mocks all her wooers out of suit.
She were an excellent wife for Benedict.
Oh, lord, my lord. If they were for a week married, they would talk themselves mad.
Count Claudio, when mean you to go to church?
Tomorrow, my lord. Time goes on crutches till love hath all his rights.
Not till Monday, my dear son, which is hence a just fennight.
Oh, name,
come,
name,
come, you shake the head at so long of breathing, but I warrant thee, Claudio, the time shall not go dully by us.
How now?
I will, in the interim, undertake one of Hercules' labors, which is to bring Signor Benedict and the Lady Beatrice into a mountain of affection the one with the other.
No, oh, name.
I would fain have it a match. And I doubt not but to fashion it, if you three will but minister such assistance as I shall give you direct.
My lord, I am for you, though it cost me 10 nights what time.
And I, my lord.
And you too, gentle hero?
Oh, I will do any modest office, my lord, to help my cousin to a good husband.
Yes, and Benedict is not the unhopeless husband that I know. Come in with me, and I will tell you my drift.
In Leonato's orchard, near a thickly shaded arbor, Benedict is walking up and down, mute.
I do much wonder that one man, seeing how much another man is a fool when he dedicates his behavior to love, will, after he hath laughed at such shallow follies in others, become the argument of his own scorn by falling in love. Such a man is Claudio. May I be so converted and see with thee in these eyes? I cannot tell. I think not. I will not be sworn, but love may transform me to an oyster. But I'll take my oath on it. If he hath made an oyster of me, he'll never make me such a fool. One woman is fair, yet I am well. Another is wise, yet I am well. But till all graces be in one woman shall not come in my grace. Rich if she shall be, that's certain. Fair or I'll none of her. Of good discourse, an excellent musician, and her hair shall be what color it please God. The prince and the dear love, I will hide me here in the arbor.
See you up, Benedict, as did himself?
Oh, very well, my lord.
Come hither, Leonato. Huh? What was it you told me of today that your niece, Beatrice, was in love with Signor Benedict?
Oh, aye.
took on the foul fit.
I did never think that lady would have loved any man.
No, nor I neither. But most wonderful that she should so dote on Signor Benedict.
Is it possible, Sister Wind, in that corner?
Why, Matros, my lord, I cannot tell what to think of it. But that she loves him with an enraged affection.
And maybe she just but counterfeit.
Say, like enough.
Oh, lord, counterfeit? There was never counterfeit of passion came so near the life of passion that she discovered it.
Why? What effects of passion shows she?
What effects, my lord?
Aye.
She will sit you. You heard my daughter tell you how.
She did indeed.
How, I pray you. Oh, you amaze me. I would have thought her spirit had been invincible against all assaults of affection.
I would have sworn it had, my lord, especially against Benedict.
Should think this a gull, but that the white-bearded fellow speaks it. Knavery cannot sure hide himself in such reverence.
Hold it up, child.
Has she made her affection known to Benedict?
No, and she swears she never will. That's her torment.
'Tis true indeed. Shall I, says she, that hath so oft encountered him with scorn, write to him that I love him? Then down upon her knees she falls, weeps, sobs, prays, cries, oh, sweet Benedict, God give me patience.
Oh, she doth indeed. My daughter says so.
Oh, it were good that Benedict knew of it by some other, if she will not discover it.
To what end? He would but make a sport of it and torment the poor lady.
Any good?
Yes.
It were an arm to hang him. She's an excellent sweet lady. And out of all suspicion, she is virtuous.
And she is exceedingly wise.
Aye. In everything but in loving Benedict. Yes.
I am sorry for her, as I have just cause being her uncle and her guardian.
I would she had bestowed this dotage on me.
Hero thinks surely she will die, for she says she will die if he love her not.
Aye.
And she will die ere she make her love known, and she will die if he woo her,
aye,
rather than she will bate one breath of her accustomed crossness.
She doth well. If she should make tender of her love, it is very possible he'll scorn it. For the man, as you know all, has a contemptible spirit.
He has, I do.
Well, I am sorry for your niece. Shall we go seek Benedict and tell him of her love?
Never tell him, my lord.
Huh?
Let her wear it out with good counsel.
Nay, that's impossible. She may wear her heart out first.
Well, we will hear further of it by your daughter. Let it cool a while. I love Benedict well. And I could wish he would modestly examine himself to see how much he is unworthy so good a lady.
My lord, will you walk? Dinner is ready.
Aye.
Do not dote on her upon this. I will never trust my expectations.
Let there be the same nest spread for her. And that must your daughter and her gentlewoman carry.
Mm-hmm.
The sport will be when they hold an opinion of one another's dotage. And no such matter. That's the scene I would see, when it will merely be a dumb show. Let us send her to call him into dinner.
This can be no trick. The conference was sadly borne. They have the truth of this from Hero. They seem to pity the lady. It seems their affections have their full bent. Love me. Why, it must be requited. I did never think to marry. I must have seemed proud. You see, the lady is fair. The truth I can bear them witness. And wise, but for loving me. Matrosis is no addition to her wit, nor no great argument of her folly, that I will be horribly in love with her. I may chance have some odd quirks and remnants of wit broken on me because I rail so long against marriage. But doth not the appetite alter? A man loves to meet in his youth. He cannot endure in his age. Shall quips and sentences in these paper bullets to the brain, or men from the career of his humor? No, the world must be peopled. Here comes this. By this day, she's a fair lady. I do have some marks of love in her.
Against my will, I'm sent to bid you come in to dinner.
Fair Beatrice, I thank you for your pains.
I took no more pains for those thanks than you take pains to thank me. If it had been painful, I would not have come.
You take pleasure, then, in the message?
Yay! Just so much as you may take upon a knife point and choke a door withal. You have no stomach, Signor. Fare you well.
Against my will, I am sent to bid you come in to dinner. There's a double meaning in that. I took no more pains for those thanks than you took pains to thank me. That's as much as to say, any pains that I take for you is as easy as thanks. If I do not take pity on her, I'm a villain. If I do not love her, I'm a knave. I will go get her picture.
Leonato's orchard. Hero, Margaret, and Ursula are busy setting a trap for Beatrice as the men set one for Benedict.
Good Margaret, run thee to the parlor. There shalt thou find my cousin Beatrice. Whisper her ear and tell her I and Ursula walk in the orchard and our whole discourse is all of her.
I'll make her come. I warrant you. Presently. Oh.
Now, Ursula, when Beatrice doth come, our talk must only be of Benedict. When I do name him, let it be thy part to praise him more than ever man did merit. My talk to thee must be how Benedict is sick in love. Now begin.
Oh, look where Beatrice, like a lapwing, runs close by the ground to hear our conference.
No, truly, Ursula, she is too disdainful.
But are you sure that Benedict loves Beatrice so entirely?
Oh, so says the prince and my new sorted lord.
And did you tell her of it, madam?
Oh, they did entreat me to acquaint her of it, but I persuaded them. If they love Benedict, you wish him wrestle with affection, and never to let Beatrice know of.
Oh, why did you so? Does not the gentleman deserve as full, as fortunate a bed as ever Beatrice shall couch upon?
Oh, God of love, I know he doth deserve as much as may be yielded to a man, but nature never framed a woman's heart of prouder stuff than that of Beatrice.
Sure, I think so. And therefore, certainly, it were not good she knew his love, lest she make sport of it.
Why, you speak truth.
You tell her of it.
No, rather I will go to Benedict and counsel him to fight against his passion and to rally devise some honest slander to stay my cousin with and...
Oh, do not do your cousin such a wrong. She cannot be so much without true judgment as to refuse so rare a gentleman as Signor Benedict.
She's limed, I warrant you. We've caught her mess. Oh, food sold and loving goes by half. Some Cupid kills with arrows, some with tarts.
Fire is in mine ears. Can this be true? Stand I condemned for pride and scorn so much? Contempt, farewell. And maiden pride, adieu. No glory lives behind the back of such. And Benedict, love on. I will requite thee, taming my wild horse to thy loving hand. If thou dost love, my kindness shall incite thee to bind our loves up in a holy band. Others, say thou dost deserve. And I believe it better than reportingly.
A room in Leonato's house. Don Pedro and Claudio are talking as Don John greets them.
My lord and brother, God save you.
Good then, brother.
If your leisure served, I would speak with you.
In private?
If it please you, yet Count Claudio may hear. Means your lordship to be married tomorrow?
You know he does.
I know not that when he knows what I know.
Why, what's the matter?
I came hither to tell you. The lady is disloyal.
Who? Hero?
Even she.
Disloyal?
The word is too good to paint out her wickedness. Go but with me tonight. You shall see her chamber window entered, even the night before her wedding day.
If I see anything tonight, why I should not marry her tomorrow? In the congregation where I should wed, there will I shame her.
And as I wooed for thee to obtain her, I will join with thee to disgrace her.
street. The constable, Dogberry, is giving the watchman their charge.
Are you good men and true?
Yea. Or else it were pity but that they should suffer salvation, body and soul.
Nay, that were a punishment too good for them, if they should have any allegiance in them, being chosen for the prince's watch.
Well, give them their charge, neighbor Dogberry.
First, who think you the most disartless man to be constable?
You, old Creek, sir, or George Seacole, for they can write and read.
Come hither, neighbor Seacole. God hath blessed you with a good name. To be a well-favored man is the gift of fortune, but to write and read comes by nature.
Both which, Master Constable?
You have. I knew it would be your answer. You are thought here to be the most senseless and fit man for the constable of the watch. Therefore, bear you the lantern. This is your charge. You shall comprehend all vagrant men. You are to bid any man stand in the prince's name.
How if they will not stand?
Why, then, take no note of him, but let him go, and presently call the rest of the watch together, and thank God you are rid of a knave.
If he will not stand when he is bidden, he is none of the prince's subjects.
True, and they are to meddle with none but the prince's subjects. You shall also make no noise in the streets, for the watch to babble and to talk is most tolerable, and not to be endured.
Oh, I will sleep and talk. We know what belongs to a watch.
Why, you speak like an ancient and most quiet watchman, for I cannot see how sleeping should offend. Yeah. Only have a care that your bills be not stolen.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, you are to call at all the alehouses and bid them that are drunk get them to bed.
How if they will not?
Why, then, let them alone till they're sober.
Yes,
where's that?
If you meet a thief, you may suspect him by virtue of your office to be no true man.
If we know him to be a thief, shall we not lay hands on him?
Truly, by your office you may, but I think they that touch pitch will be defiled. The most peaceable way for you, if you do take a thief, is to let him show himself what he is and steal out of your company.
You have been always called a merciful man, partner.
Truly, I would not hang a dog by my will, much more a man who hath any honesty in him. This is the end of the charge. You, constable, are to present the prince's own person. If you meet the prince in the night, you may stay here.
Nay, by our lady, that I think I cannot.
5 shillings to 1 on it. With any man that knows the statues, he may stay him. Marry, not without the prince be willing.
Ah.
For indeed, the watch ought to offend no man, and it is an offense to stay a man against his will.
By our lady, I think it be so.
Well, masters, good night, and there be any matter of weight chances, call up me. Come, neighbor.
Well, masters, we hear our charge. Let us go sit here upon the church bench till 2, and then all to bed.
One word more, honest neighbors. I pray you watch about Signor Leonardo's door. For the wedding being there tomorrow, there is a great coil tonight. Adieu. Be vigitant. I beseech you.
Onward!
Peace, sir, not.
Onward, I say!
Here, men, I am at thy elbow.
Oh, stand thee close then under this penthouse, and I will, like a true drunkard, utter all to thee.
Some treason, masters, yet stand close.
Therefore, no, I have earned of Don John 1,000 ducats.
Is it possible that any villainy should be so dear?
Thou shouldst rather ask if it were possible any villainy should be so rich. But know that I have tonight wooed Margaret, the lady hero's gentlewoman, by the name of Hero. I should first tell thee how the prince, Claudio and my master, planted and placed and possessed by my master, Don John, saw afar off in the orchard this amiable encounter.
And thought they Margaret was Hero?
Well, 2 of them did, the prince and Claudio, but the devil, my master, knew she was Margaret. Away went Claudio enraged, swore he would meet her as he was appointed next morning at the church, and there before the whole congregation, shame her with what he saw all night, and send her home again without a husband.
We charge you in the prince's name, Sam.
Call up the right master constable. We have here recovered the most dangerous piece of lettery that ever was known in the Commonwealth.
Well, sir, right.
Now don't you
want this man? We charge you in the pay.
Come on.
Come on.
come, Friar Francis, be brief. Only to the plain form of marriage.
You come hither, my lord, to marry this lady?
No.
Be married to her. Friar, you come to marry her.
Lady, you come hither to be married to this count?
I do.
If either of you know any inward impediment why you should not be conjoined, I charge you on your souls to utter it.
Know you any, hero?
None, my lord.
Know you any, count?
I dare make his answer. None.
Oh, what men dare do, what men may do, what men daily do, not knowing what they do.
Oh, no, interjection.
Stand by, Friar. Father, by your leave, will you with free and unconstrained soul give me this maid, your daughter?
As freely, son, as God did give her me.
And what have I to give you back?
Nothing, unless you render her again.
Sweet prince, you learn me noble thankfulness. There, Leonato, take her back again.
Father!
She's but the sign and semblance of her honor.
Father!
What do you mean, my lord?
Not to be married. Not to knit my soul to an approved wanton.
Dear my lord, if you in your own proof have vanquished the resistance of her youth...
No, Leonato, I never tempted her with word too large. But as a brother to his sister, showed bashful sincerity and comely love.
And seemed I ever otherwise to you?
Out on thy seeming, I will write against it. You seem to me as Diane in her orbs. As chaste as is the bud ere it be blown, but you are more intemperate in your blood than Venus.
Is my lord well that he doth speak so wild?
Sweet prince, why speak not you?
What should I speak? I stand dishonored that have gone about to link my dear friend to a common scale.
Oh!
Are these things spoken? Or do I but dream?
Sir, they are spoken, and these things are true.
True? Oh, God!
They are not. Let me but move one question to your daughter, and by that fatherly and kindly power that you have in her, bid her answer truly.
I charge thee, do so, as thou art my child.
But God defend me how I am beset.
What man was he talked with you yesternight out at your window, betwixt 12 and 1?
I talked with no man at that hour, my lord.
Oh. Leonato, I am sorry you must hear. Upon mine honor, myself and my brother and this grieved count did see her, hear her, at that hour last night talk with a ruffian at her chamber window.
What?
Who hath indeed, most like a liberal villain, confessed the vile encounters they have had 1,000 times in secret.
Oh, hero, what a hero hadst thou been if half thy outward graces had been placed about thy thoughts and counsels of thy heart. But fare thee well, most foul, most fair. Farewell.
Hath no man's dagger here a point for me?
Father! No! How now, cousin? Wherefore sink you down?
How doth the lady?
Dead, I think. How now, cousin hero?
Have comfort, lady.
Dost thou look up?
Yea, wherefore should she not?
Wherefore? Could she here deny the story that is printed in her blood? Do not live, hero. Do not open thine eyes. Grieved I had but one. Oh, one too much by thee. Why had I one? Why ever wast thou lovely in mine eyes? Why had I not with charitable hands took up a beggar's issue at my gates? Who smirched thus and mired with infamy, I might have said no part of it is mine.
Oh, on my soul, my cousin is belied.
Lady, were you her bedfellow last night?
No, truly not. Although until last night, I have this 12 months been her bedfellow.
Confirmed. Confirmed. Would the two princes lie and Claudio lie? Hence from her, let her die.
Hear me a little, for I have only silent been so long and given way unto this course of fortune by noting of the lady. Curse not my age, my reverence, calling, nor divinity, if this sweet lady lie not guiltless here under some biting error.
Friar, it cannot be.
Lady, what man is he you are accused of?
They know that do accuse me. I know none. Oh, my father, prove you that any man with me conversed at hours unmeet, or that I yesternight maintained the change of words with any creature. Refuse me, hate me, torture me to death.
There is some strange misprision in the princes.
Two of them have the very bent of honor. And if their wisdom be misled in this, the practice of it lives in John the Bastard.
If they speak the truth of her, these hands shall tear her. If they wrong her honor, the proudest of them shall well hear of it.
Pause a while, and let my counsel sway you in this case. Your daughter here, the prince is left for dead. Let her a while be secretly kept in, and publish it that she is dead indeed.
What shall become of this? What will this do?
Marry,
This well carried shall on her behalf change slander to remorse. So will it fare with Claudio. When he shall hear she died upon his word, then shall he mourn and wish he had not so accused her. Let this be so, and doubt not but success will fashion the event in better shape than I can lay it down in likelihood.
Signor Leonato, let the friar advise you.
Being that I flow in grief, the smallest twine may lead me.
'Tis well consented. Come, lady, die to live. This wedding day perhaps is but prolonged. Have patience, and then...
Lady Beatrice, have you wept all this while?
Yes. And I will weep a while longer.
I will not desire that.
You have no reason. I do it freely.
Surely I do believe your fair cousin is wronged.
Oh, how much might the man deserve of me that would right her?
Is there any way to show such friendship?
A very even way, but no such friend.
May a man do it?
His man got it,
well,
but not yours.
I do love nothing in the world so well as you. Is not that strange?
As strange as a thing I know not. It was possible for me to say I love nothing so well as you.
Oh.
But believe me not.
But what?
And yet I lie not. I confess nothing, nor I deny nothing. I am sorry for my cousin.
By my sword, Beatrice, thou lovest me.
Do not swear by it and eat it.
I will swear by it that you love me, and I will make him eat it that says I love not you.
Will you not eat your word?
With no sauce that can be devised to it. I protest I love thee.
Why then, God forgive me.
What offense, sweet Beatrice.
You have stayed me in a happy hour. I was about to protest. I love you.
And do it with all thy heart.
I love you with so much of my heart that none is left to protest.
Come, bid me do anything for thee.
Kill Claudio.
Oh, not for the wide world.
You kill me to deny it. Farewell.
Tarry, sweet Beatrice.
I'm gone, though I am here. There is no love in you. Nay, I pray you, let me go.
We'll be friends first.
You dare easier be friends with me than fight with mine enemy.
Is Claudio thine enemy?
Is he not approved in the height of villain? That has slandered, scorned, dishonored my kinswoman?
Free you.
Oh, that I were a man. Oh, God, that I were a man. I would eat his heart in the marketplace.
Hear me, Beatrice.
Talk with a man out of window, a proper saying.
Nay, but Beatrice.
Sweet hero, she is wronged. She is slandered. She is undone.
Beatrice.
Princes and counties. Surely a princely testimony, a goodly count. Count Comfort. A sweet gallant, surely. Oh, that I were a man for his sake. That I had any friend would be a man for my sake. He is now as valiant as Hercules that only tells a lie and swears it. I cannot be a man with wishing. Therefore, I will die a woman with breathing.
Tarry, good Beatrice. By this hand, I love thee.
Use it for my love some other way than swearing by it.
Think you in your soul the Count Claudio hath wronged, hero?
Yea, as sure as I have a thought or a soul.
Enough, I am engaged. I will challenge him. I'll kiss your hand, and so I leave you. By this hand, Claudio shall render me a dear account. As you hear of me, so think of me. Go comfort your cousin. I must say she is dead. And so, farewell.
Which are the offenders that are to be examined? Let them come before Master Constable.
Yea, Mary, let them come before us. What is your name, friend?
Baracchio.
Pray write down Baracchio.
Aye.
Yours, sirrah.
I am a gentleman, sir. My name is Conrad.
Write down Master Gentleman Conrad. Aye. Master, do you serve God?
Yea, sir.
We hope.
Write down that they hope they serve God.
Aye.
And write God first. For God defend, but God shall go before such villains. Masters, it is proved already that you are little better than false knaves. How answer you for yourself?
Marry, sir, we say we are none.
A marvelous witty fellow, I assure you. But I will go about with him. Come you hither, sirrah. A word in your ear. Sir, I say to you, it is thought you are false knaves.
Sir, I say to you, we are none.
Well, stand aside. Poor God, they're both at a tail. Have you writ down that they are none?
Master Constable, you go not the way to examine. You must call forth the watch that are their accusers.
Yea, marry, that's the aptest way. Let the watch come forth. Masters, I charge you in the prince's name, accuse these men.
This man said, sir, that Don John, the prince's brother, was a villain.
Write down Prince John a villain? Why, this is flat perjury to call a prince's brother villain.
What heard you him say else?
Marry, that he had received 1,000 ducats of Don John for accusing the lady hero wrongfully.
Flat burglary as ever was committed.
Yea, by the mass, that it is.
What else, fellow?
And that Count Claudio did mean upon his word to disgrace Hero before the whole assembly and not marry her.
Go, villain, thou wilt be condemned into everlasting redemption for this.
What else?
This is all.
And this is more, masters, than you can deny. Prince John is this morning secretly stolen away. Hero was in this manner accused and in this very manner refused. And upon the grief of this, suddenly died.
What?
Oh, the Master Constable, let these men be bound and brought to Leonardo's. I will go before and show him their examination.
Come, let them be opinioned.
Off, coxcomb!
God, my life, where's the sexton? Let him write down the prince's officer, coxcomb. Come, bind them, thou naughty varlet.
Away! You are an ass! You are an ass!
Dost thou not suspect my place? Dost thou not suspect my years? Oh, that he were here to write me down an ass. But, masters, remember that I am an ass. Though it be not written down, yet forget not that I am an ass. No, thou villain, thou art full of piety. It shall be proved upon thee by good witness. I am a wise fellow. And which is more an officer? And which is more a householder? And which is more as pretty a piece of flesh as any is in Messina? And one that knows the law, go to. And a rich fellow enough, go to. And a fellow that hath had losses, and one that hath 2 gowns and everything handsome about him. Bring him away! Oh, that I had been writ down an ass!
Leonato and his brother Antonio, smarting under the insult offered to Hero, have violently quarreled with Don Pedro and Claudio and challenged them to a duel. This the younger men politely decline. The older men have just left as Benedict entered.
Now, Senor, what news?
Dinner orders. I came to seek you both.
Well, we've been up and down to seek thee. Wilt thou use thy wit?
In this cupboard. Shall I draw it?
As I am an honest man, he looks pale. Art thou sick or angry?
What courage, man. What though care kill the cat, thou hast metal enough in thee to kill care.
I shall meet your wit in a career, and you charge it against me. Shall I speak a word in your ear, Claudio?
Oh, God bless me from a challenge.
You're a villain.
What?
I jest not. I will make it good how you dare, with what you dare and when you dare. Do me right, or I'll protest your cowardice. You have killed a sweet lady, and her death shall fall heavy on you. Let me hear from you.
Well, I will meet you, so I may have good cheer.
What a feast to feast.
In faith, I thank him. He hath bid me to a carved head and a capon, the which if I do not carve most curiously, him a knife's not.
Fare you well, boy, you know my mind. I will leave you now to your gossip-like humor. My lord, your many courtesies, I thank you. I must discontinue your company. Your brother the bastard is fled from Messina. You have among you killed a sweet and innocent lady. And for my lord Lackbeard there, he and I shall meet. Till then, peace be with him.
He is in earnest.
In most profound earnest. And I'll warrant you for the love of Beatrice.
And have challenged thee.
Most sincerely.
Come you, sir. If justice cannot tame you, she shall ne'er wait more reasons in her balance. Nay, on you be a cursing hypocrite once, you must be looked to.
How now? 2 of my brother's men bound? Verrocchio one?
Hearken after their offense, my lord.
Officers. What offense have these men done?
Marry, sir, they have committed false report. Moreover, they have spoken untruths. Secondarily, they are slanders. 6th and lastly, they have belied a lady. Thirdly, they have verified unjust things, and to conclude, they are lying knaves.
First, I ask thee what they have done. Thirdly, I ask thee what's their offense. Sixth and lastly, why are they committed? And to conclude, what you lay to their charge?
I see reason, and in his own division.
Who have you defended, Masters, that you are thus bound to your answers? What's your offense?
Sweet prince, let me go no farther to my answer. You hear me, and let this count kill me. What your wisdoms could not discover, and these shallow fools have brought to light, who in the night overheard me confessing to this man how Don John, your brother, incensed me to slander the lady hero, how you were brought into the orchard and saw me caught Margaret in hero's garments, how you disgraced her when you should marry her. The lady is dead upon mine and my master's false accusation.
Runs not the speech like I am through your blood?
I have drunk poison whilst he uttered it.
Come, bring away the traitors. The masters, do not forget to specify when time and place shall serve that I am an ass.
Here comes Master Signor Leonardo, yes, and the sexton, too.
Which is the villain?
Let me see his eyes. Which of these is he?
If you would know your wronger, look on me.
Art thou the slave that with thy breath hath killed mine innocent child?
Yes, even I alone.
No, not so, villain. Thou beliest thyself. Here stand a pair of honorable men. I thank you, princes, for my daughter's death. 'Twas bravely done, if you bethink you of it.
I know not how to pray your patience, yet I must speak. Choose your revenge yourself. Impose me to what penance your invention can lay upon my sins. Yet sinned I not but in mistaking.
By my soul, no lie. And yet to satisfy this good old man, I would bend under any heavy weight that he'll enjoin me to.
I cannot bid you bid my daughter live. That were impossible. But I pray you both possess the people in Messina here. How innocent she died. Tomorrow morning, come you to my house. My brother hath a daughter, almost a copy of my child that's dead. Give her the right you should have given her cousin. And so dies my revenge.
Oh, noble sir, I do embrace your offer.
Tomorrow, then, I will expect your coming.
Moreover, sir, which indeed is not under white and black, this plaintiff here, the offender, did call me ass. I beseech you, let it be remembered in his punishment.
I thank you. There's for thy pains.
God save the foundation.
Go. I discharge thee of thy prisoner, and I thank thee.
I leave an arrant knave with your worship, which I beseech your worship to correct yourself for the example of others. God keep your worship. I wish your worship well. God restore you to health. I humbly leave, give you leave to depart. And if a merry meeting may be wished, God prohibit it. Come, neighbor.
I come.
A room in Leonato's house.
Did I not tell you she was innocent? Mm.
So are the prince and Claudio who accused her. Well, daughter,
yes,
and you gentlewomen all, withdraw into a chamber by yourselves.
Yes,
and when I send for you, come hither, masked.
Sire, I must entreat your pains, I think.
To do what, signor?
To bind me or undo me, one of them. Signor Leonardo, your niece regards me with an eye of favor.
That I, my daughter lent her, is most true.
And I do, with an eye of love, requite her.
The sight whereof I think you had from me, from Claudio and the prince. But what's your will?
Your answer, sir, is enigmatical. But for my will is your good will may stand with ours this day to be conjoined in the state of honorable marriage.
Here comes the prince and Claudio.
Tomorrow to this fair assembly.
Tomorrow, prince. Tomorrow, Claudio. Oh. Are you yet determined today to marry with my brother's daughter?
I'll hold my mind. Was she an Ethiop?
Call her forth, brother. Here's the friar ready.
Good morrow, Benedict. Why, what's the matter that you have such a February face?
I think he thinks upon the savage bull. Here come the ladies, masked. Which is the lady I must seize upon?
This same is she, and I do give to her.
Why, then, she's mine. Sweet, let me see your face. Take off your mask.
No, that you shall not, till you take her hand before this friar and swear to marry her.
Give me your hand. Before this holy friar, I am your husband, if you like of me.
And when I lived, I was your other wife.
Another hero?
Nothing straightener. One hero died defiled, but I do live, and surely as I live, I am amazed.
The former hero. Hero that is dead.
He died, my lord, but while Sir Slander lived.
All this amazement, can I qualify?
Soft and fair, friar. Which is Beatrice? The ladies are all masked.
I answer to that name. What is your will?
Do not you love me?
Why, no more than reason.
Why, then, your uncle and the prince and Claudio have been deceived. They swore you did.
Do not you love me?
No more than reason.
Why, then, my cousin Margaret and Ursula are much deceived, for they did swear you did.
They swore that you were almost sick for me.
They swore that you were well nigh dead for me.
There is no such matter. Then you do not love me?
No, truly, but in friendly recompense.
Come, cousin, I'm sure you love the gentleman.
And I'll be sworn upon it that he loves her.
Come, I'll have thee, but by this light I take thee for pity.
I would not deny you, but by this good day I yield upon great persuasion, and partly to save your life, for I was told you were in a consumption.
Please, I will stop your mouth with a kiss.
How dost thou, Benedict, the married man?
I tell thee what, Prince. Since I do purpose to marry, I will think nothing to any purpose that the world can say against it. And therefore, never flout at me for what I have said against it. For man is a giddy thing. And this is my conclusion. for thy part, Claudio, I did think to have thee beaten thee. But in that thou art like to be the kinsman, live on brews and love my cousin.
I had well hoped thou wouldst have denied Beatrice that I might have cudgeled thee out of thy single life.
Come, we're friends. Let's have a dance ere we are married, that we may light our own hearts and our wives' heels.
We'll have dancing afterwards.
First in thy word, therefore play music.
I am music.
You have just heard Shakespeare's comedy Much Ado About Nothing, adapted and directed by Charles Warburton. The musical arrangements were by Frank Black, and the orchestra was under the direction of Joseph Hunty. Today's cast was as follows. Don Pedro, Raymond Edward Johnson. Don John, Horace Braham. Claudio, Burford Hampton. Benedict, Alfred Shirley. Leonato, Charles Webster. Conrad, John McGovern. Boracchio, William Shelley. Friar Francis William Podmore, Dogberry Mark Smith, Verges Harry Neville, Sexton J.P. Wilson, The Watch Malcolm Dunn and Henry Herbert, Hero Barbara Lee, Beatrice Irene Wicker, Margaret Ruth Halstead, and Ursula Mona Hungerford. The Great Plays series is a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company. Next week at this same hour, Shakespeare's Tragedy of Macbeth will be presented. A drama guide giving complete background material for the great plays by Blevins Davis, who arranged for the series, is available to our radio audience at the cost of 25 cents. Send coin or money orders to Columbia University Press in care of Great Plays, Columbia University, New York, New York. Consult your local library for reading material on the remaining great plays of the series. Much Ado About Nothing was a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.